Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you can no longer be my manager. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe, my master? And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Since last November, I've been talking about Luke being a master storyteller. Luke presents the life and the teachings and the stories of Jesus to show his hearers and readers that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke does this by showing the compassion of Jesus, especially compassion for the poor. Luke wants us to know that Jesus came to turn the world upside down. The world values wealth and power. God values the poor and the lowly. Jesus wants disciples who also value the poor and the lowly. Jesus wants disciples who will do God's work and lift up the poor and the lowly. Today's parable is often called the parable of the dishonest manager. It's immediately after the story of the prodigal son. Now, I believe that Luke puts these stories together intentionally. There are many parallels. For example, the prodigal son, we're told, squandered his inheritance. And because of that, because he squandered his inheritance, he ended up with an awful life. The same word is used in today's story. The manager squandered his master's property. It was an all too common story in those days. And in our days, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The manager was greedy, overcharging people. We're not told that the rich man was greedy. I think the manager was squandering his master's reputation. And when he forgave those people, when he reduced those debts, he was reducing the excess that he was taking, the excess that he was being greedy about. So he got fired from his job, and he was on his way to having an awful life. So we have two people in trouble, but they realize that they did it to themselves, and they want a better life. Both stories teach us that when we're in trouble, a better life is possible in Christ. For both the prodigal son and the dishonest manager, wealth had become their God. And they both realized now and finally that this is not the way to live. You cannot serve God and wealth, Jesus said. They were serving wealth. Now it was time for them to serve God. Now, at first, it sounds confusing when Jesus says, make friends for yourself by dishonest wealth. But to me, the meaning is simple. When you have wealth that you've received dishonestly, give it back. Forgive it. One translation of the Lord's Prayer says it best. And I think maybe even based on this parable, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus is always about forgiveness. Jesus is always about repentance. That's why the manager was congratulated, because he forgave the dishonest wealth. He gave it back. We're not told this, but I am, in my imagination, I think the manager might even have gotten his job back. The young boy had lived an immoral life. The manager was a thief. They deserved punishment. They certainly didn't deserve a party or restoration to the family. The manager certainly didn't deserve his job back if he got it back. But in the kingdom of God, the teaching of Jesus is clear. You can be forgiven. No matter, you can be forgiven. When you repent, you can be forgiven. Squandering can be forgiven. Sinful living of any type can be forgiven. Dishonesty can be forgiven. Now, both the prodigal son and the dishonest manager, in their repentance, looked to the future. The boy wanted to return home. He didn't think he could return home as a son, but he was willing to return even as a servant. The manager didn't want to get a job in physical labor or resort to begging. The future mattered to both of these people. Now, there's another thing that's confusing at first. The manager was commended for being shrewd. Now, the Greek word here means, for shrewd, means thoughtful planning. It means to plan wisely. To be shrewd means to plan wisely for the future. To be shrewd in the Greek means to think about the future and plan ahead. Jesus is saying, make plans for the future through forgiveness. Forgive the debts. And when those you have harmed receive your forgiveness, they will welcome you into the eternal home. And that's where we all belong together. And that's the mission of Jesus. Through forgiveness, we will all be together for eternity. So the end result of repentance is to be received into our eternal home. Now, on a day that we receive new members into our church family, it's important to know that the goal of the church is not to get more numbers, to improve our numbers, or to get better statistics. That's not our goal. Our goal as a congregation is to be honest, loving disciples of Jesus, and to bring into our fellowship honest, loving disciples of Jesus. And ultimately, we'll be welcomed to our eternal home, where there will be eternal joy, where there will be eternal celebration. We'll belong there. There's nothing more important, nothing more important than to belong to heaven. So, my friends, let's plan for heaven. This is our journey. Our most basic tool as we plan for heaven, our most basic tool on our journey of life towards eternity, the basic tool is forgiveness. Not too long after this story, Jesus entered Jerusalem, where he was arrested and crucified. The first thing that Luke tells us that Jesus said from the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus was telling the world, whatever you have done, even executing the Son of God, no matter what you have done, you can be forgiven. Today, Jesus places a choice before us to live as children of this age, or as children of light. Children of this age are attached only to wealth, only attached to worldly things. Children of this age don't care about the poor and the helpless. Children of this age don't care if they're dishonest. Children of this age don't care if the poor are injured by their accumulation of wealth. There was an advertisement for a car several years ago that said simply, "This car can save your soul." Really? Of course not. No one believes, do they, that an automobile can save your soul? No one believes, do they, that wealth can save your soul? No one believes, do they, that our belongings, our material things that we have, can save our souls? But if they do, they are children of this age. Children of this age marinate in material things, in wealth, in greed, in power, in control over others. People of this age marinate in selfish pleasures. Children of this age are children of darkness. Disciples of Jesus are children of light. They know that God's eternal heavenly light is in their future. And with this light that God gives us, we forgive. Children of light are already marinating in the joy of eternity. Children of light marinate in forgiveness. Children of light are already marinating in the peace of heaven. But I'm a sinner, you say. Of course you are. But God enters this space right now, saying that through the cross and resurrection of his Son, you can be forgiven. Let us pray. Bring to mind the children of this age. Think of the children of darkness, including your own sins and mistakes and failings. And listen to the word of God now. Listen to the voice of God and marinate in these words. Hear them and marinate in them as God speaks. Receive my light. Receive my forgiveness. God says, receive my love.